Welcome to the River of Life broadcast, a weekly ministry of South River Baptist. This year, we are studying the book of Hebrews about faith that endures. The journey of faith is filled with challenges and victories. Life-changing faith is not merely instinctive. It's not a happy feeling. It's an act of the will based on God's unchanging word. Now open your Bible to hear Pastor Chris Thompson share simple biblical truths to help us build faith to overcome life's temptations and trials. Here's Pastor Chris Thompson.
For those that are here in the sanctuary, I want to invite you to grab your Bible this morning as well so we can open it to Hebrews chapter 12 as we're working our way through this epistle to the Hebrews and that we can hear God speak this morning. Hebrews chapter 12, I'm going to start reading in verse 3 in a moment if you want to find that there. This is not our home, as Sherwin just sang. We're just passing through, amen? It's a path of faith that we have to, we walk with faith each and every day, taking the steps as we take a step closer to God's throne, knowing that the just live by faith. And I hope you enjoyed your extra hour of sleep last night, amen? I did. And I've been trying to figure out all week how, as I drove in this morning, actually, how could I experience this feeling every week, right? An extra hour. So wouldn't that be nice? And I thought, you know what? What if every morning I just took and I moved my clock forward 10 minutes every day? Then that'd be 6 days. And then on Saturday night, I could just move it back an hour and get this feeling of all this, or just go to bed early on Saturday. That's another option, right? But every year, praise the Lord, whenever we move these clocks back, it kind of reminds us, you know what? Winter's coming, right? And it'll be here before you know it, and there's a chill in the air, and that's always a good time, too. You light those gas logs, or if you have one of those wood-burning stoves, you know, you like that. I remember as a kid growing up in central New York, how we had to prepare for the winter. It's how we heated our home. We had to split wood, cords of wood, and we had our little Ben Franklin stove down in the basement that we'd get that thing roaring, and that heat would just go throughout the house. There's nothing like a wood stove, amen? Just the smell of it. You just know, I loved growing up with that. But we had harsh winters, all that snow, feet of snow, not little inches of snow, feet of snow, right? And so we had to stack that wood and split it. And as a young teenage boy, man, there's nothing like taking an axe and just chopping wood, man, feeling like a man, like Paul Bunyan, you know what I mean? Just chop. I love going out to the woodshed. Anybody like going to the woodshed? Y'all must have a different understanding of the woodshed. Students, newsflash. I know we don't have woodsheds. Spankings, correction. In fact, maybe it is a foreign language to many today, right? Especially in our culture. It seems like in our culture, people excuse all kinds of behavior. No one gets corrected at all, right? No one wants to take responsibility for their actions, and seemingly we don't discipline enough. And that model is something maybe came over from Europe, right? I think it's called laissez-faire. That's French, right? If you haven't heard laissez-faire, it's French for I'm too lazy watching my TV show or my phone, and I don't have time to discipline right now, right? That's the attitude a lot of us take. Guilty at times, not doing what, as a parent, I'm responsible to do, what I'm accountable to God to do. Laissez-faire means like let it go. It'll correct itself. It will take its own course. Don't interfere. In some ways, that's the model we take in parenting, which is not a healthy model in parenting. And God's word is going to show us that here, not as parents. It's a picture for us as Paul reflects on his parenting, or the parenting he received and what his earthly father did in his life. In a spiritual way, we take those principles and we look at a whole different degree. That there's spiritual discipline that we should be receiving and you should look for and expect in your life if you and I really are authentically the children of God. Over in Ephesians chapter 1 and or chapter 2 verse 1 and over in chapter 5, it says that there are children of the devil and children of God. And they're a distinct group. Children of darkness and children of light. Children, listen, who the Lord, when he disciplines, it's for your good. But when the devil beats his children, it's not for their good. It's for their destruction. That's what he wants to do. He's a destroyer. That's what he came to do. But Paul is writing to God's children, and he's saying, listen, this is a reminder. Not only the Old Testament saints who walked by faith that should encourage you, encourage me to keep pressing forward in the faith. He's going to call on some Old Testament wisdom as well from the book of Proverbs that you and I need to appreciate. and not forget what is written there, that wisdom for life that we need and we need to experience, but not just in our daily lives, but experience in a spiritual way in our daily lives. There's a benefit that we have as a child of God. There's a benefit that we should appreciate, particularly when you're experiencing hardships and difficulties, maybe even suffering like those Old Testament saints. Sure, we just sang, you know, our ways are, God's ways are not our ways. They're so much higher. And yet sometimes we're confounded. We don't understand. We don't understand, you know, what God's ways are, but we know Him. You see, Jesus would say, listen, if you want to be one of my disciples and follow me, then we need to realize this today. That means denying ourselves, taking up a cross, and following Him daily. Now that cross, listen, that's where you die. That's not pleasant, right? I mean, that's suffering, that's hardship. Sometimes, listen, when you're walking by faith and going through these trials, like we saw in chapter 11, so many of the patriarchs did, and others who walked by faith, the hardships that they experienced and endured and pressed through, it's a reminder that there's an aspect of our faith today that we need to be exercising. And when we experience those trials, when we experience those difficulties, sometimes we bring them on ourselves by our decisions. You know, God says, oh, you want to go down that path? Well, here, try this for a little bit. Wish I'd learned faster. You don't have to go through the school of hard knocks, amen? We can go through the school of repentance and faith, calling on the Lord, trusting what He says. And in Christianity, there's this form of Christianity in America that's not really explained these principles. We want all the good things. We want the grace. We want to experience that. We don't think about the aspect of our faith that has to be disciplined and discipled. And God allows us, listen, to be disciplined so that we can be discipled and be authentic. And so in a moment when we stand, we're going to read a section, and God is speaking about the trials, the sufferings that the Christians were experiencing as Paul speaks to them, and they're used by God to disciple you and me, to make us more into the image of Christ. And they validate the reality that we really are a child of God. And we don't always think about that. But the experiences you may have gone through this week, you want to make sense of them? Maybe the way we make sense of them have a different perspective. Looking from the Father's eyes and not from our own perspective. And seeing what He's trying to do in your life and my life so that we can understand it's a privilege to be one of His children. A son of God, a daughter of God. And that He's doing something. He's perfecting us. And through these trials, He's giving us perseverance and hope. And that's why we want to look to Him this morning. Stand with me and honor the word of the Lord. I'm going to begin reading in verse 3. So if you want to follow along with me in your Bibles, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 3. Remember, we learned last week running this race of faith, we've got to keep our eyes on Jesus, laying aside the things that hinder us, that the sin that so easily trips us up. We got to run this race of faith and remember Jesus. But notice in verse 3, for consider Him, that's Jesus now, who endured such hostility from sinners against Himself. You just think about the cross and all the challenges He had up until that point even. Lest you become weary and discouraged in your souls, you've not yet resisted the bloodshed, striving against sin. And have you have forgotten the exhortation which speaks to you as to sons. My son, do not despise the chastening of the Lord, nor be discouraged when you are rebuked by Him. For whom the Lord loves, He chastens and scourges every son whom He receives. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with sons. For what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you are without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you are illegitimate and not sons. Furthermore, we have had human fathers who corrected us, and we paid them respect. Shall we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? For they indeed for a few days chastened us as seemed best to them, but He for our profit, that we may be partakers of His holiness. Now, no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, but painful. Nevertheless, afterward, it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those specifically, notice, who have been trained by it. And Father, give us the Spirit today in our hearts, Lord, a desire in our hearts to be trained, taught, instructed, willing to accept correction. Lord, willing to embrace that. Lord, knowing that you allow circumstances in our life. You sift it through your fingers, but you allow it for the purpose of molding us, transforming us, making us more into the image of your Son. And Father, no chastening at the moment is enjoyed. Lord, we don't always say thank you for it, but God, may we have a heart's desire today to say thank you, Lord, that you love us enough to correct us and not allow us to go down certain paths which would not be profitable for our souls. And we love you. Speak to us, Lord, today. If there's someone today that wants to become a child of God, and one of the privileged positions we have, then my desire, Lord, is that you birth faith in their hearts and help them to see the need to repent and place their faith and trust in your Son, our Savior, King Jesus, and trust in him to not only bear the penalty of their sins, but to preserve them and lead us all the way to your throne one day. We love you and praise you and ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated this morning. In verses 3 and 4, Paul is preparing for this vital instruction on discipline in our faith and the need for it. We've seen the Old Testament saints. Jesus is the supreme example for us and the supreme of example of being willing to suffer in obedience to God. His Father had a purpose, a mission that Jesus had to fulfill. It was written in the book that he was going to come and give his life as a ransom for many, and he came to do that. And as he came, he experienced hostility. He experienced opposition. He endured through it for the joy set before him. He endured the cross and suffered the shame, and now is sat down at the right hand of the Father. He obeyed the Father in all ways and was perfected through that. Not that God needs perfection, but in his humanity, he demonstrated to you and me, he made, perfected the righteousness that he now gives us. And we have it and receive it when we repent and believe. Some of the recipients were experiencing hardship in Hebrews. We saw that in chapter 10. Some were maybe being persecuted. Some were exhausted maybe because of what they were experiencing. It's trials that we go through in life. And some of them maybe thought it's not worth continuing and it's time to throw in the towel. But the amazing thing is Jesus says, wait a second, stop. You don't throw in the towel with God. He's doing something in your life. He's at work. And none of us have resisted in our battle against sin to the point of shedding blood. I mean, that's what Jesus did for you and for me. He went all the way through the cross to pay the penalty that our sin deserved and to achieve a righteousness that he could give us. But as we go through hardships, and sometimes the suffering and is a result of our own decisions, those things we experience, you and I are not always apt to look to God and try to make sense of it. But they come because God will use them to educate us and disciple us in the faith. And along the way, it validates in your heart, in my heart, I really am a child of God. I really am a daughter of God. I'm one of his children. And that's what we need to do in our own children's lives to help to nurture the faith. And that's what discipline does. We don't despise it. Notice what he says here in verse 5 and 6. Now he's quoting from Solomon over in chapter 3 of Proverbs, some real wisdom that we need to apply in our lives today as God fears, but this is easier said than done, right? We don't despise, take lightly, consider of no value the discipline that God brings into our lives. When I'm going through suffering, I mean, do you ever stop and think about it from Job's perspective? I mean, Job had seemingly done nothing wrong. Satan said, let's have some, I want to mess with Job here. God, can I do that? And he could only go so far as God allowed him. But even Job, I mean, when he was going through his experiences, I remember his wife, his sweet wife, right? Curse God and die, right? He says, wait, I brought nothing into this world. I can take nothing with me. I'm not going to do that. In fact, Job's suffering as he went through that, he got to one point where he said, yet though he slay me, yet still I will trust in him. God's ways are so much higher. And you and I don't always understand, why am I going through this? What is happening in me? So some believers just perhaps see no benefit from hardships. We just really want to get either numb us in it, right, or get us out of it. Rather than asking and seeking God and asking God, what are you doing? What are you trying to teach me? We often say, why me, right? Guilty, I've done that. Do I consider that these hardships sometimes are evidence that the Father is doing a work in me? I mean, it's an honest question we have to ask of our faith. It's reflected over in the book of James. It's found over in the book of Romans as well. This idea is so that we think soberly and spiritually about these experiences and the discipline God is trying to bring in your life this morning and in my life. James would say it this way. Listen, what happens when you encounter trials? Well, consider it all joy when we encounter all types of trials, various trials. Why? Because we know that the testing of our faith is making it genuine. God, you're refining me. You're perfecting me. You can write Romans 5 in the margin of your Bible. Over there, Paul would say this. It's very similar to what he's saying here. Therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have access by faith into his grace in which we stand, and we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Now, all that's in Hebrews leading up to this part. You know, we have a high priest now, a throne of grace we go to, and we walk by faith. But then Paul would go on in Romans 5 in verse 3. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, perseverance, character, and character, hope. And hope does not disappoint. Why? Because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who is given to us. I mean, that's the summary, really, of what Paul says in Hebrews here. To realize and stop and to be grateful this morning. Listen, we have an intercessor there who intercedes for us, Jesus. We fix our eyes on him. He sustains us by his grace. He's promised us the hope, a living hope. One day we're going to reach that eternal city, amen? But along the way, when we experience trials, tribulations, hardships, difficulties, sometimes from our disobedience, sometimes even when we're obedient, we keep our eyes fixed on him. That tribulation, that trial is making us stronger. We're exercising our faith. It's refining your character, our character. And it's giving us hope as God brings us through trial after trial. And he demonstrates, I'm faithful. I'm going to walk you through this. I'm going to walk you through this. And he's going to walk us all the way over to the other side. And that's what it's producing. Now, there's enough pressure in life just living, right? But in the... It's inevitable as a follower of Christ because of our relationship with him that we're going to experience trials and tribulations. And it's inevitable, listen, yes, I understand. There may seem like people get away with all kinds of stuff in our day and age and they're not disciplined. There's coming a day where it will come, judgment, right? Do I learn, do I choose to learn from the hardships and difficulties I go through? This discipline, it validates God's love for us. Notice what it says there in verse 6 from Proverbs chapter 3, verse 12. For whom the Lord loves, he chastens and scourges every son whom he receives. You see, discipline is the evidence of a father's love for his children. We respect our parents for their loving discipline. I look back and I'm grateful. My dad didn't let me go down certain paths, right? He said, no, that's not healthy for you. You're not safe there. I mean, there's a circle, there's a boundary. And those boundaries for a child is obedience. That's inside. Disobedience is outside the boundaries. And you're safe when you're in the boundaries. Moms and dads, it's good to draw the same boundaries. Amen? Hey, grandparents, don't move the boundaries. It makes it harder on the parents. Amen? The parents should have said amen right there. Okay. Anyways. You see, how grateful we should be, how thankful we should be for our Heavenly Father's correction, just as we're grateful for our earthly Father's correction. When's the last time you and I said, thank you, Father, for correcting me. Thank you for loving me and protecting me and saving me from a path that if I had kept going down, it would have not been good for me or maybe for others. Moms and dads, we have the opportunity to demonstrate this to our children as we nurture them, as we raise them, I love how Tripp says it, we shepherd them in the faith, right? Those precious little hearts, listen, they're designed for God's throne, right? Not for this world. And you and I need to embrace that we are not our children's friends. We're God's ambassadors. That's how Tripp would say it. He says this over and over again. Listen, you and I have a responsibility. God has gifted us with these precious little ones, and they are precious. I got the offer today to hold a precious little baby boy, and I had to say no, because if I do, I'll probably have another one. Just seem like I have to touch him. He just seemed to have more. So, I need to, and just to be honest, you know, we have seven, and that just meant we needed a lot of practice in this, okay? Some of y'all, you know, you get it right the first time, man. God bless you. I was a perfect parent until I had kids, right? Exposed, all right. See, moms and dads, we represent him. And the reason is because we want them to learn to come under his reign and rule as they learn to be under our reign and rule as his representatives. And some of the best things sometimes you can say to your kid when they're bucking, right? When they're standing up against your authority and the responsibility you have is just remind them, listen, we are not going to stand before God one day and be delinquent in doing what we were called to do, what we are responsible to do. We had parents too. We didn't always like discipline. But you learn to embrace it. You learn. Listen, as he says here, their instruction, their correction, it was temporary. It was only for a short period of time. I mean, you have only 18 years and they're out from underneath the roof, right? Then they're out on their own. And then, you know, they've got a whole life. And our parents, you know, it's not just I'm preparing them for life after they leave the house. We're preparing them for eternity. That's the goal we have. That's under his reign, under his rule. That's what we're supposed to be living for and looking for. And the lesson we want them to learn is the lesson we should learn, that the sooner we submit, the sooner we surrender, maybe the quicker the trial, the tribulations, the hardships may come, because my heart, my mind has been trained by it. You see, discipline validates our identity as God's children. That's what he emphasizes here in verses 7 through 9 as he's reflecting on this wisdom, this exhortation, right, from Proverbs. This wisdom I need to apply. If you endure chastening, God deals with you as with his sons. And what son is there whom a father does not chasten? But if you're without chastening, of which all have become partakers, then you're illegitimate and not sons. This is the validation of our identity. He's mine, I'm his, we belong to him. That's why, by the way, earthly parents, listen, we discipline our children. I would highly discourage you discipline someone else's children, you might go to jail, especially in this day and age, right? Just think about that for a moment. We are under discipline as believers. We're over-disciplined disciplining our children. And when we fail to discipline at times, listen, then we are doing our children a disservice spiritually. Now, I've gotten that wrong. I haven't always gotten it right. My parents didn't always get it right. Students, your parents don't always get it right. Just wait till you're a parent, right? God, our Father, disciplines us, and praise God, he always does it right. Amen? The right time, the right manner, the right amount, for the right reason, for our good, to draw us closer to him, to help us to learn more about him. And listen, this is what's essential to understand. Embrace correction. Be teachable. And when you've done wrong, learn to acknowledge it quickly. Right? As we say, keep a short list with God. Keep a short list that when you know you've gone the wrong way and you need to repent and turn quickly. You see, this is what the Christian life is. It's not just at some point I realize I'm a sinner and I can't save myself. My sin deserves death. The wages of sin is death. And I realize that. And I see over here a cross where Jesus died. And he said, listen, I am paying the penalty for your sins. If you will repent and put your trust in me, you can be saved from the penalty that your sin deserves. And I will exchange for you a righteousness you don't possess. I will give you a right standing before God. And so we see the path we're on, the destruction that's before us, and that we can't change our life. We turn around and say, God, save me, have mercy on me, be my Savior and Lord. And then the whole of Christian life, it's amazing how God is continually opening our eyes and helping us realize, I still need him. I can't do this. I need to trust in him. And I'm saved when I repent and believe, but the whole Christian life is a turning to him. It's constant. God reveals that to you. He reveals that to me. There's not a believer in this room the moment you receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior that you got it right 100% of the time. Amen? C.S. Lewis says it in Mere Christianity. Just let someone try, now that he's a new believer, to flesh out and live out this Christian life. And after about 6 weeks, 2 months, 3 months, 6 months, he's utterly frustrated because he realizes, man, I still stumble and fall short of the required perfection. And God does that. He wants you and I to come to realize that, you and I cannot even perfect ourselves. He does that work in us by His Spirit, and He uses life to make, and He uses the circumstances of life and the things that are sifted through His hands. That's the assurance we have. We're in His palm. We're secure in Him, and He's allowing things filter through His fingertips in our life. Sometimes they come because of our own consequences of our decisions, wrong choices. They have consequences, and sometimes He's disciplining us, but He's discipling us in our faith and helping us to have perseverance and to have character and to have hope, and hope ultimately one day will be realized. And when that happens in your life and in my life, we thank the Lord that we are His and we belong to Him. And so we embrace those moments when they happen. We don't despise what God has done, but we validate, we realize we really do belong to Him. God is accomplishing His purposes as He does that. And that's what we're supposed to do, helping our children as well, as we discipline them, pointing them to Him, reminding them that He loves us and He did that in our lives and He's doing that in our lives. And God uses all kinds of things to discipline us and bring us closer to Him. But we want that. I mean, as it says in verse 9, we had human fathers, they corrected us, and we paid them respect. Should we not much more readily be in subjection to the Father of spirits and live? Listen, their correction was for life. His correction is for eternity. It gets us right for eternity to dwell in His presence. We embrace that. We look forward to it. You see, it not only validates that I belong to Him, it also validates what His purposes are in our life. And you get to see that fleshed out, and we should want to see that fleshed out in our life. Time and again, what is the purposes? Well, that's verse 10 and verse 11. Notice what he says here. For they indeed, that's our fathers, what did they do? For a few days they chastened us as seemed best to them, but he for our profit, that we may be partakers of his holiness. And now no chastening seems to be joyful for the present, amen, but painful. Nevertheless, after it yields the peaceable fruit of righteousness to those who have been trained by it. What are the two results? Why is God disciplining us? Why is it for my profit? What advantage of it? Because it isn't joyful at the moment. It's painful. But when I realize there's two things he's trying to do. He's wanting you and I to become partakers of his holiness. What is holiness? He wants us to also see the peaceable fruit of righteousness in our life. Those two things are related, holiness and righteousness. What is holiness? God is holy, pure. Amen. We'd agree to that. But what is holiness? In the Bible, it has the idea of being set apart. Would you agree God is set apart from his creation? Yes. We don't believe in pantheism. No. God is distinct. There's only one God. There can only be one God. Only one Almighty. Only one eternal God. Only one sovereign God. Only one God who is the source of all being, who is and was and is to come. That's why we're here, because of him. He's holy other. That's why he's called the Holy One of Israel. Beloved, he's so much higher. We've lost this. He's become too familiar to us. Now, his holiness, because he is infinitely pure and the rest of us aren't, he's also distinct in that way. He's trying to make you, trying to make us holy, distinct from what? Where we once were, the world. We're set apart to him. Listen, at home, I know, ladies, you have fine china and you have chinette, okay? They are distinct things. One is set apart for filet mignon, china, fine china, okay? Some things are good for mud pies with the kids, and that's chinette. As a believer, God wants you to realize you've been set apart for him. You belong to him, and he's a holy father. And we should want to see that holiness in our life. We want to see that displayed. And sometimes he disciplines us when we don't choose the holiness, the set-apart path. That's why you want to see the yielding of peaceable fruit of righteousness. We want to see righteousness manifested in our lives. What is righteousness? Well, you do the right thing. You see, We've been talking about walking by faith, and faith comes from hearing the Word of God. Well, do you realize the Word of God is given to us? It's inspired by God. Over in 2 Timothy, it says this, that the Word of God that's inspired by God does something related to righteousness. First off, it gives us a doctrine. It gives us a plumb line so we know what's right and wrong. And then when we're on the wrong side, it reproves us and says, hey, you're on the wrong side. Get on the right side. And then when you're on, it corrects us to get over there. Here's the right way. And then it instructs us in righteousness that we might be adequate. We might have what we need for life. Listen, answer this question. What does the good shepherd do? Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his what? Namesake. He's holy. You see, righteousness and holiness, they go together. The holy God is going to tell us the right way to live. He's going to show us the right path, not this path. Now, don't walk up this side. Walk up this side tonight. All right. He's going to show us the right path that we should walk in. And when we're going the wrong way, he loves us enough to say, stop, go this way. Stop, go this way. This is the right path. When that happens in your life, be thankful. Be grateful. And realize his purpose is that you and I continue in that pathway and go the right way. It's the narrow way, but it leads to his throne. In fact, if you really are a disciple of Christ, Jesus said in the Sermon on the Mount that you and I should be seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness that goes along with it. So that means, listen, throughout the week, one of the things I get to demonstrate and you get to demonstrate is, listen, am I doing the right thing as a man of faith? Am I doing the right thing as a woman of faith? Am I doing the right thing as a man of God in shepherding my home? Am I doing the right thing as a woman in the home, doing the right thing as a mother? Am I doing the right thing as a child? Listen, doing the right thing as God defines it, not the world, because that's really what happens, right? Am I doing the right thing when I go to work? Because I do my work as unto the Lord, but not to men, right? All these ways, I'm fleshing, you're fleshing, we're demonstrating we're children of light, we're children of God. And when we're disciplined for going the wrong way, thank you, Father, you love me. And you don't want me to go to that. Now, by the way, it would say over in John's epistle, there is a sin that leads to death, okay? God takes this serious, and so should we. Embrace the discipline. Respond to it swiftly, quickly. Don't, you know what Proverbs mentions? The hardening of the neck. I think of Solomon's daddy, David, and he wrote these two songs about his sin that he committed, and God got a hold of him, right? For a year, he says, your thumb was on me, right? I felt, oh man, it was like the fever heat of summer. All my life was just drained out of me. God trying to get David's attention in those moments. And it wasn't until Nathan the prophet came and put his finger right in the king's eyes and looked at him and said, thou art the man. Thou art the man. David wrote a song and he said, listen, I'm going to repent. I'm thankful for the mercies of God. I'm thankful for the grace of God. I'm thankful that my sin is covered and my iniquity is forgiven and I'm washed and I'm thankful. Wash me with hyssop and cleanse me. And then he says this, I'm going to teach sinners in the way. You can't teach when you haven't repented yourself. It's not going to be effective. And he is one thing he says I'm going to teach sinners is this. Don't be like the beast that needs a bit and a bridle. Everybody knows what that is, right? You put the bit and the bridle on the horse's head so you can steer that creature. Why? Because animals don't always want to go the right way, right? And so don't be one that needs a bit and a bridle. Come on, you're going this way. Don't be like that. Yield to instruction, yield to correction. Students, listen, when your parents correct you, thank them. I know you don't always do that right away, amen? They love you. They want you to go the right way. They're filling their responsibility. They're fulfilling what God has called them to do. You are a gift to them, and they have to present you back to him one day. And so they embrace their responsibility, knowing they have to stand before God and give an account. Moms and dads, let's not fail in that, amen? Right? Discipline them. Proverbs gives us lots of wisdom on that too. You remember, you know, the rod. It's for their backs. It's for their good, right? I had an aunt. You know, sweet Renee. She may have watched earlier service on Facebook. She likes to tune in. And Aunt Renee, man, when you stayed with Aunt Renee, man, you had to obey. And if you didn't, you had to go get this thing called a switch. Do y'all know what those are? It's not a, now, see, students, y'all think of a light switch. It is not a light switch. But you need it to make the light switch go on, right? Man, and you had, if you disobeyed, you got disciplined. Aunt Renee loves to come up to me at reunions. Oh, sweet Chris. Get away. I love you. Yeah, I know. I love you too. Yeah, I love you. Right? Man, if that switch wasn't long enough, go get another one. And the worst part is when they picked it and then they grabbed that green switch and they get all the leaves off of it. Y'all know what I'm talking about if you're over a certain age, I tell you, okay? Amen? And it was for my good. Amen. It produced the peaceable fruit of righteousness. Oftentimes swiftly. By the way, again, discipline your own, not someone else's. You could go to jail for that. But anyways, she was Aunt Renee, all right, in the family. Be grateful. The Father disciplines us. It reminds us we belong to Him. Don't harden yourself at it. Yield to it. The sooner the better. Don't lose heart when you are reproved. Don't lose heart when God rebukes you. He has a lot of different ways that He'll do that. He will use circumstances. He will use individuals. He may use hardships in your life. He'll use those things because He loves us. And if He doesn't and just allows us to go on and on and on and there's no discipline, then you might want to ask, am I really one of His? That's what Paul is saying. Everyone that's one of His sons, one of His daughters, one of His children, he punishes. He disciplines. He rebukes. He gets us right. Now He wants to do that because we've already learned in Hebrews, we're supposed to be pressing on to maturity. That's over in chapter 5, the very end of chapter 5. We should be pressing on as children, no longer on milk, but getting for the meat. We should be growing up and maturing. And that involves the way we walk by faith. And when we do the right thing as God has given, I mean, we're all on this journey together. Let's when we express a trial, that's not always His discipline. Sometimes the devil will throw some things at us. But what we do know is whatever the Father allows in our life is to refine us. We just sang it. The flames shall not hurt thee. I only design thy dross to consume and thy gold to refine. That's the great hymn we just sang. I mean, all those songs we just sang, they highlight these truths that I need to, you need to, we need to put into practice in our life. Maybe sneaking on the altar this morning, you've been going through an experience, a trial, and you just say, Lord, not why me, but what are you trying to teach me today? Lord, what are you trying to instruct me? How do you want to refine me? And thank you that you love me. Lord, help me to keep my eyes fixed on you. Thank you for protecting me from something which would bring great injury, not just maybe to me, but to my family. It would not be something that would be good. Maybe, listen, parents, you need to, husbands, grab your hands, bride, your bride's hand, and maybe you just need to come near the altar and say, Lord, we want to be found faithful in shepherding our children, in parenting them. Help us to be one in this. That's critical. It's vital as husband and bride. And again, grandparents, don't move those boundaries. It's hard enough. Amen? Yeah. Paul says this, don't think lightly of God's goodness, His patience, His forbearance, holding back. You may be someone that's not a child of God today, and you say, well, I'm getting away with it. I ain't got nothing to worry about, and He didn't discipline me. No. See, God is holding back. He's forbearing. He's holding that back. Why? Because He says over in Romans chapter 2, verse 4, He wants you to repent. He wants us all to repent. He wants us all to turn to Him. And He's inviting us to do that. Why not do it today? Why not to do it? Lord, discipline and disciple my faith. Help me to embrace correction, instruction. Help me to see and yield. May I see this righteousness in my life. Peaceable fruit of righteousness. Why? Because I got peace with my Maker. I'm living right with Him. I got peace with those made in His image because I realize they're made in His image and we're made for relationships, and the way that we should treat one another does matter. And it's yielded in my life. It's bearing fruit. It's evident as I walk by faith. I want to invite you to bow your heads this morning. For just a moment, will you just reflect on what God's Word has said to us and what the Spirit of God may be inclining our heart to do, how we can obey Him this morning. Maybe I need to get on the altar and make give something to the Lord that he has convicted me of today.
Thank you for joining us today on the River of Life broadcast. If you want to know more about a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, please call us at South River at 704-876-1520 or email us at hope@southriverbaptist.com. We also want to know how this program has blessed your life. Please send us a note and let us know you are listening and how our church family can pray for you. We invite you to join us here next Sunday or at our church location at 2659 South Chipley Ford Road in Statesville.